This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A tornado killed at least five people and injured several others in Calhoun County, Alabama. The county's coroner confirmed on Thursday evening. A major tornado outbreak featured high-end violent tornadoes that were blowing across the South, with cities including Birmingham and Nashville at risk of severe weather. President Biden came to his first press conference eager to talk about COVID-19, but was instead repeatedly asked about other growing problems in America. Biden answered multiple questions on the border, hinting that he may be willing to end the filibuster and that he plans to run for re-election. All the while, we learn President Biden is under a federal probe over his order to cut off funding for the southern border wall. On Thursday, the Government Accountability Office, or GAO, said it's investigating Biden for freezing border wall funds because that money had already been appropriated by Congress. Back in January, Biden signed an executive order to withhold $1.4 billion allocated for wall construction. USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The bright light show in the Pacific Northwest Thursday night is explained. Wendy Kang from the Pacific Northwest USA Radio News Bureau has more.
At around 9 p.m. Pacific time, multiple people recorded what seemed to be a meteor breaking up in the skies over Oregon. Witnesses say the light was very bright before it exploded. Video shows an amazing light show lasting almost a minute long as the pieces slowly break apart. Astronomer Jonathan McDowell says the Falcon 9 second stage from the March 4 Starlink launch failed to make a deorbit burn and re-entered after 22 days in orbit. He said the re-entry was observed from Seattle all the way through to Northern California. McDowell also said the deployment rods from the Falcon 9 should be down sometime next week.
Thanks for listening, and happy TGIF, my friend. We are USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
President Biden held his first press conference since taking office in January.
100 million shots in people's arms in my first 100 days. We met that goal last week by day 58, 42 days ahead of schedule. Now today I'm setting a second goal, and that is we will, by my 100th day in office, have administered 200 million shots in people's arms. That's right, 200 million shots in 100 days. I know it's ambitious, twice our original goal, but no other country in the world has even come close. And today we made a historic investment in reaching the hardest hit and the most vulnerable communities, the highest risk communities. As a consequence of the virus, by investing an additional $10 billion in being able to reach them. I also set a goal before I took office of getting a majority of schools in K through 8 fully open in the first 100 days. Now, thanks to the enormous amount of work done by our administration, educators, parents, local state education officials and leaders, recent Department of Education survey shows that nearly half of the K through 8 schools are open now full-time, 5 days a week for in-person learning.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pride.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you with us. Bill Martinez here, and we've got Bob Adelman back with us, a regular contributor to the New American Magazine, writing primarily on economics and politics, an Ivy League grad and former investment advisor. He's a life member of the John Birch Society and National Rifle Association. Bob, welcome back. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, sir, for having me back on.
Well, not that far away. You're based out of Colorado Springs, and of course we saw what happened with this shooting that took place in Boulder. You know, it's such a heartbreak here. You know, we say constantly, Bob, that in a live shooter incident, suddenly life is measured in seconds. But we know what the routine is that it takes minutes, and the police responded very quickly, all things considered. You know, 10 minutes, that's on the short side, but still 10 minutes, that's almost, one death per minute that took place during this period of time.
Yes. And I wrote about that, raising a question that the media is either not asking or not interested in asking. And that is, where were the defenders?
Yes.
Where were the customers in that King Superstore, that grocery store, on Monday at 2:30 in the afternoon, who were carrying concealed? Where were they?
Mm.
And I decry that lapse or dearth of defenders because it has allowed the media one more opportunity to tell us how we need to restrict and eliminate and get rid of firearms, particularly this AR-15, which this individual used to pick off his customers.
Well, Bob, you know, you ask an important question, and the only one that's asking that I'm aware of is where are the defenders? And we know for those of us who carry conceal or open, you know, every gun association is doing everything they can to encourage people that if you're licensed to carry, you need to carry, right?
Well, I've been thinking about this, Bill, ever since I wrote this article. Gotten a lot of feedback on it saying, interesting question. Nobody's doubting the statistics. In my article, I talk about how, based on the statistics and other people that are smarter than I am, there should have been at least 25 people in that store on Monday afternoon this week carrying concealed.
Mm.
All it would take is one to have seen the danger, to see the threat and respond to it. And I've been trying to think about if there were one, I'm assuming there would, even in the anti-gun climate of Boulder, Colorado, which is, you know, Moscow in the mountains. I'm trying to think of how a concealed carry person would not respond. I've been thinking a lot about this, Bill. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think about the conscience. I think about their conscience right now. What about the ones who are licensed to carry that weren't carrying at the time? What is in their heart and mind after this incident that occurred? Again, keeping in mind they've been admonished by every other training service whatsoever that you go to as a follow-up, because most gun owners, and this is one of the things that we stress repeatedly, Bob, is that it's not enough to be a gun owner. You have to be efficient with the use of that weapon, whether it is for practice or otherwise. I mean, because, you know, you even have men in blue who freeze, even though they're practicing, and sometimes they just you know, in the heat of battle and the excitement of it all. Not that, thank God, a high percentage of America's citizens will find themselves in an active situation like this, but you have to keep in mind that when you do have a weapon, you may be called to duty here in a second.
Bill, I'd like to make this a personal thing.
Okay.
I've been carrying concealed for a long, long time. And when I first decided to get my concealed carry permit, which is going now on 10 years, it took me 6 months before I actually started carrying. Because, and here's my point of this, I don't think that whoever was carrying that day up in Boulder was prepared. He might have had a weapon. But mentally, he had not made the decision, the critical decision, long beforehand, that if he were threatened or there were a threat, he would, without thinking, take him down. It took me 6 months to get to that point where if I were confronted in a life or death situation where my life or my wife's life were in danger, I thought I was prepared. No questions, no thinking about it, no gee whiz, I don't want to hurt the guy, you know, et cetera. Take him down. I don't think they were prepared at all. That's the best I can come up with. They simply bought a gun, carried it around, and said, well, we'll see what happens.
Right.
And when it started to happen, they were in no position, no condition, no mental condition to say, engage with this guy.
Right.
And so if they were there, they slipped. And if they weren't, shame on them.
Right, exactly. And this comes with the responsibility of gun ownership and being licensed to conceal carry. You know, this is all part and parcel that you know your rights and your responsibilities, and you must practice. I mean, there are situations, Bob, and I've heard this reported as well, where people have a gun but no bullets. Well, you know, it just doesn't do any good. I mean, come on, you know, because in that situation, when you have a live shooter, I mean, you don't know if you're saving yourself, your family members, or the other people that happen to be in this particular case in a grocery store could be in the same aisle that you were in. But for this, your omission and lack of training, and it's not about being a hero. It's just, this is our constitutional right, and there's a reason that our founding fathers, with the Second Amendment, gave us this right to defend and protect ourselves because of the evil hearts of men. And when I say men, I'm talking about in general sense. I don't want to use all the, you know, what 93 associated pronouns we're supposed to use.
That's
these days.
Fine.
But you know what I mean here, and I think our audience does as well. So it's the fact that, look, evil exists, and this is why we need to protect ourselves. And we cannot go ahead.
I want to push on that a little bit. Having the skill and making the decision is still only part of the process.
Right.
Every bullet comes with a lawyer.
Mm, yes.
And so once we have to play it out, what happens next? You know, if there is a shooting, what you have to have, here's the decision process that I went through. In my speed dial, I wanted an attorney, not just any attorney, someone I knew, someone who had skills in defending, and that I would be able to call on him, because if I were sued, and there have been crazy circumstances in this world that has gone crazy and is upside down, a homeowner defending himself and his family could just as easily be sued as the victim.
Right.
And so he needs to go through the process of, what do I do next? And the first thing you do is not to call the attorney. The first thing to do is to call 911 and say, I'm the victim.
Yes.
And just say, I'm the victim. I was feared for my life. I feared for the life of my wife or the people around me. And this fellow has been shot. He's lying on the ground, and he needs emergency help. Please send it, and then hang up.
Exactly.
So the 911 people will say, stay on the line, sir. Stay on the line. every word is being recorded. The less said, the better. My point on this, Bill, is that we need to play this scenario out.
Bob, we've got to go to break. Let's pick it up from there when we come back. More from Bob Adelman after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 30 languages worldwide. Thailand has done well in avoiding the impact of the COVID-19 health crisis, but they're still suffering uncertainty. It's just one of the many countries experiencing the financial ramifications of fewer foreign visitors and lost tourism income. Through radio broadcasts and media players, the Tide Ministry is bringing hope to Thai listeners who feel unsafe and afraid because their economy is collapsing. As Christians, we have the assurance that comes through our hope in Jesus, and it's our responsibility to encourage others to put their hope in Christ. Thailand is one of multiple countries on 3 continents where the Tide Ministry broadcasts gospel programming. Our daily Bible studies and sermons air in 30 local languages across multiple regions around the globe. And you can learn more about how the Tide Ministry is encouraging listeners throughout the COVID-19 pandemic by visiting thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent we are, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Bob Adelman continues with us. He's a regular contributor to the New American Magazine, writing primarily on economics and politics. Bob, before the break, we were just talking about people defending themselves. Of course, we have that very heralded and celebrated event that took place in St. Louis with the McCloskeys. I mean, here they are defending their property, and didn't, thank God, nobody was shot. We found out later that his wife, responsible gun ownership, had not assembled the gun. Somebody didn't assemble the gun appropriately, and the firing pin was not there, so she wasn't going to fire anything. But Mr. McCloskey, an attorney himself, did have an AR, and that seemed to be threatening enough, and would have been a tough situation when you had hundreds of people, you know, coming into their property, a private property. They broke down a gate, and I guess nothing happened to them. However, we've got, typical of the insanity that's going on right now. We've got all kinds of people being arrested and the FBI looking for regarding the January 6th event. So I guess it just depends where and what type of riot you want to conduct.
There's another angle, too, and I don't want to beat this to death. There are associations out there that help people in a shooting situation. I belong to two of them, and I want to give both of them some airtime. The United States Concealed Carry Association, USCCA, and the other one, which is the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, which actually provides and has available funding to help offset some of the enormous legal fees in the event that someone is caught in a situation like that. That's the other question. How are you going to pay for an attorney?
Right.
You could run up a bill of thousands, tens of thousands, 50,000 or more, and just in defending yourself. You can have the Second Amendment draped all over your shirt, but you're going to be sued. If you're sued, you're going to have an attorney. He costs money. Who's going to pay for that? I highly recommend the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. They've got a nifty program, and they have funds available. Marty Hayes decides in the instant case whether it's appropriate. But, you know, you have to do all this thinking and planning beforehand.
Exactly.
It's ugly to think about, but it's the world we live in.
You know, and it's amazing that, you know, here we are this many years down the road, near 250 years, and why there isn't some remedy for this, Bob, to where if you have a citizen defending themselves, and it's a Second Amendment issue, why there isn't a special fund, that is established as part. I mean, of all the goofy things that we have established in our government anyway, why can't there be a fund that would protect the citizens in exercising their Second Amendment right? Is that too foreign or too idiotic of an idea?
I don't think that's the proper function of government, Bill.
Well,
I mean, after all, I'm not sure that I want a government attorney defending me.
Well, no, I don't want a government attorney, but I want to be able to. No, I'm with you. I don't want that. That's not what I meant. What I meant is that in the event that either there is something on a national level, and I know there's insurance programs, to this end, but that it should be, I think there should be some more depth and support. Because like you said, when you release a round down range, as they say, and it comes with an attorney, you don't know how many, how many tens of thousands of dollars you can end up with. I've heard it estimated that you're looking at anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000 just right off the bat.
Just to get started. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to overdo this thing, but I'm thinking, coming back to the situation in Boulder last Monday, I don't think that the people who were carrying, and there were bound to be somebody, estimates average at least 25 people in that store at that time, simply hadn't done their homework, hadn't taken it all the way around the bend, and hadn't ridden the horse all the way around the circle to say,
yes,
what happens next?
Exactly.
They are, in my opinion, if that's the case, and I'm just making this up as we go, totally irresponsible. If they haven't, if they're carrying, but they haven't thought about the consequences.
Exactly. Well, this is, our citizenship comes with rights and responsibilities. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other, right?
Well done, Bill. Well said.
Well, I want to talk about another column that you wrote about recently, and that is the federal judge challenging the Supreme Court's infallibility. Explain to our audience what you mean by this.
That was fun. One of the joys of writing is that we get to go dark down dark alleys that aren't lit by the major media. One of the canards is that the black-robed justices are from on high, that they're as close to God in this country as any institution, and therefore thou shalt not be questioned. And along comes a federal judge in a dissent, in a no-name lawsuit where he was dissenting from the majority opinion. The case is irrelevant, but he took that opportunity to point out that the Supreme Court has ruled inaccurately and incorrectly when it comes to critical issues. And I led that on to oppose the bad decision, unconstitutional decision, of Roe v. Wade, declaring that there was a right to murder your child that never appears in the Constitution. And so he called out the Supremes and said, there are a number of issues, decisions that you guys have made, and I can hardly wait for you guys to grow up and get a backbone and start recanting and rejecting some of these awful decisions. And so he was simply saying the obvious. These people are not from on high.
Exactly.
They are attorneys.
Right.
They are lawyers. Many of them are hard left liberals. And to have them say that it stops here and it goes nowhere else, our decisions are law and not just the decision on the case, is beyond the ken. And it was so fun to write about this guy. I quoted him quite liberally, if you'll use that use that expression.
Yes, but like you said, it's good. It's not only good fun, but it's provocative, and it's things that we need to consider, because we know, especially when it comes to Roe v. Wade, the activism, and it's kind of astounding that here they were so willing to be, you know, activists in that particular issue, and then we have a questionable election in 2020 that comes about, and they all of a sudden go silent. We only hear crickets. I mean, what are they paid for here?
Well, I get, my dander gets up, and Mr. Trump saw this coming. The reason he won in 2016 is that the left wasn't expecting him to win, and so they hadn't laid the groundwork and set up the chessboard to keep him from taking on the White House. They were not going to make that same mistake the second time around.
Right.
And so since 2016, they've been building the network and the machinery to keep him from winning a second term.
Yeah, I mean, because even when you look at the numbers don't play out. I mean, how many more people voted for Trump down line if there was this incredible blue wave and excitement about Democratic policies?
Oh, sure.
There would have been runaway madness that it would have taken place in the voting. And it didn't happen. And you had how many votes that were just for the president only, and all the other, you know, suspicious elements of the ballots. I mean, you know, I find it quite clever of the Democrats to be able to raise people from the dead. You know, we're so close to Easter Sunday, so we'll use this. But they're able to raise people from the dead who died Republican, but somehow when they raise from the dead, they become Democrats.
Yeah, that's great. My point was that Trump saw this coming, and one of the backstops was to put in conservatives into the Supreme Court, because that would be the ultimate backstop, the ultimate safeguard against what happened in 2020. And these guys folded like a cheap suit in Atlanta in July.
Missing in action.
I'd love to get, I wish I knew more. I have the greatest suspicions about the Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts, that he's been sold out and belongs to the deep state. I wish I could prove that. There are rumors. There's no sources that I can find. I haven't spent a lot of time on it, but I think he is sold out.
Yeah.
He has sold out to the highest bidder.
Right.
And all I can think of, and this is Adelman only, somebody made a phone call and said, you will not rule on any of those lawsuits challenging the election.
No doubt. No doubt. The machinery was working and was well greased. No doubt about it. Bob, look forward to continuing the conversation. We'll be connecting again soon. Thank you.
I look forward to it, Bill. Thank you. God bless you.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 2% with a 2.27% APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 2% with a 2.27% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 2% with a 2.27% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT, 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run, call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT, 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Loan amount $500,000 and greater. 1.45 discount points apply. Rate subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A tornado killed at least five people and injured several others in Calhoun County, Alabama. The county's coroner confirmed on Thursday evening. A major tornado outbreak featured high-end violent tornadoes that were blowing across the South, with cities including Birmingham and Nashville at risk of severe weather. President Biden came to his first press conference eager to talk about COVID-19, but was instead repeatedly asked about other growing problems in America. Biden answered multiple questions on the border, hinting that he may be willing to end the filibuster and that he plans to run for re-election. All the while, we learn President Biden is under a federal probe over his order to cut off funding for the southern border wall. On Thursday, the Government Accountability Office, or GAO, said it's investigating Biden for freezing border wall funds because that money had already been appropriated by Congress. Back in January, Biden signed an executive order to withhold $1.4 billion allocated for wall construction. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with the America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. DeRoy Murdoch is with us, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor and contributing editor of National Review Online. DeRoy, how are we doing?
Bill, how are you? It's great to talk to you again.
Hey, always good. Boy, the big question that Americans are having as we look at the latest Rasmussen poll, 50% of America not very happy with the Joe Biden administration, his policies, what he is doing, and more as we realize, even without a press conference, a State of the Union, and even though the mainstream media has been trying to run cover for this president, you will know them by their fruit, and the fruit that is being produced by this administration, no bueno.
No muy, muy mala fruta.
Yes,
muy mala fruta.
Yeah.
No, it's terrible. You know, I think a couple things. One is really three. One is energy level. I mean, whether you're a fan of Donald J. Trump or not, I think everybody can agree that this guy was, the Energizer Bunny on steroids. I mean, 24/7, 365. The guy didn't sleep. I mean, Twitter messages at 4 a.m. And, you know, the guy was just working seemingly everything but probably Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Biden, I think, took the weekend off. I believe he took Monday off. I believe he had one day, somewhere in the last few days, where about 1:15 they put a lid on it. All right, that's it. No more activity from the president.
So yeah, we're talking 1:15, and we're talking 1:15 in the afternoon here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, I mean,
yes,
1:15 p.m.
Right.
Yeah, well,
yes.
Middle of lunchtime. So, all right, that's it. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Right.
And so the energy level is not what anybody expects. Secondly, this whole concept of centrism and bipartisanship and let's bring the country together. I just saw this morning Mitch McConnell was on. Did an interview. He said he hasn't met with Biden yet. He hasn't spoken with Biden yet. You know, we're approaching, what is it, day 63, 64, something like
right.
that.
Right, exactly.
And the Senate Republican leader has not spoken with the President of the United States. That doesn't sound like any kind of a formula for bipartisanship. The policies they're going through are far left. They're flying through with all Democrat votes. You know, mm-hmm. spending what $1.9 trillion, not one Republican vote. Susan Collins and some other moderate Republicans came to the White House and said, "Look, we have a counterproposal." And he listened to it and said, "All right, see ya, bye." And that was that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So that's not happening. And then the proposals or the policies that are going through are horrifying. You know, we've mm-hmm. got the border wide open, if not utterly erased. We've got people coming into this country who are COVID-19 positive. A lot of them aren't being tested. We've got talk of D.C. statehood. We've got talk of reparations. I mean, there's nothing in any way middle of the road about the policy agenda we're seeing out of this White House. So I think a lot of people have a tremendous sense of bait and switch. And a lot of others try not to be too cantankerous about it. But, you know, we told you so. We
wrote
the article.
Exactly.
We gave the speeches. We were on the radio, on the TV, warning people about this. And people said, "Oh, he's nice. He seems like a nice guy. It'll be great." And I kept telling people, you know, focus on the policy. Look at his vote record. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not pleased by this, but I'm not terribly surprised by what I'm seeing, other than he's less energetic than I thought. And then, of course, with the executive orders, a lot of this stuff got implemented in a matter of probably a week or so. So the speed mm-hmm. of that was actually impressive in a bad way. But
right.
Since then, he just seems to slow down to a snail's pace.
Well, for those that wanted a third term for Barack Obama, they're kind of getting it, aren't they?
Well, you know, they're getting that, but they're getting, you know, Barack Obama plus. I mean, I'm not mm-hmm. a fan of Obama, but you know, he looks like a relative moderate compared to Biden so far, you know, which is pretty terrible, because I think Obama is the most left-wing president we've had in this country. And but that said, you know, he didn't give us reparations. He didn't push D.C. statehood. He seemed to agree that we have two sexes on this planet, male and female. We have now a gender policy czar, gender policy council, I think it is, in the White House, that's going to focus on gender policy and transgender and this, that, and the other. We never got that out of Obama, or at least not much of it. So, and he also dissolved the 1776 Commission on day one. They're talking about bringing back the, you know, implementing critical race theory. We didn't get too much of that stuff out of Obama. I mean, he did a lot of bad things, but he didn't push it quite that far. So I think people are getting Barack Obama plus, you know, 3-4 clicks to the left.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but he was asked, I'm talking Barack Obama was asked if he was interested in a third term. He said, and this is my interpretation, so a little bit of a loose translation, I'll tell you this up front, but my impression was he said that if he could talk in somebody's ear, he wanted to be a shadow third president, you know, have a shadowy kind of third presidency, so he'd be in the background. He wouldn't necessarily be the one to take the bullets, but that he'd be the one talking into the ear of, you know, the titular head of the Oval Office. And this seems to be the case. Jen Psaki admitted that Barack Obama and Joe Biden are in constant contact.
You know, it could be. So, I mean, this we could have a little bit of kind of an Edgar Berg and Charlie McCarthy type of arrangement. And for those people under 40 years old, you better look that up. But
right.
Basic ventriloquist concept.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah, maybe we've got Joe Biden's lips moving and the voice is actually being thrown by Obama.
Well, and that's been the question, DeRoy. People are saying, who's running the country? Because now, I mean, Joe Biden has slipped more than once in referring to Kamala Harris as president. And now the big announcement here recently was that it's now officially the Biden-Harris administration.
Yeah, that is unusual. I mean, people will refer to Reagan-Bush or Trump-Pence or what have you, but that's more something journalists do for whatever purposes we might or might not have. But to have the White House itself come out and say, please call us the Biden-Harris administration, I've never seen anything like that before. I mean,
right.
It's, you know, I guess we can be magnanimous and say, gee, isn't it wonderful that Biden is sharing the spotlight with his vice president? But I've never seen anybody do that before. And maybe it's all a matter of, as we say in literature, foreshadowing, you know.
Without a doubt. Yeah, exactly.
Biden 2 years, people won't be startled if it mm-hmm. goes from Biden-Harris to Harris than if it goes from Biden all by himself to Harris all by herself.
And I haven't seen any recent polling this, but
turf to have this happen.
To your point, I've not seen any polling on this, but more and more people, at least I'm hearing anecdotally, are anticipating a Kamala Harris seat in the Oval Office probably within the next year, 2 years. I mean, there's some odds on this, I guess. Vegas may be running some right now.
Well, I think there's some interesting timing here because if I believe if let's say she took over tomorrow, this would count as her first term. She could run for re-election and only get four more years. If she came in 2 years minus a day, she'd be able to serve those, let's say, 51 weeks and then run for re-election for 4 years and then run for re-election for another full term, kind of like LBJ thought of doing.
Right.
He ended up not doing so, but he could have done that. Of course, he came in after John F. Kennedy was assassinated. So potentially the thought is let's wait until 2 years minus a week in this term. She gets those almost 2 years and then runs for re-election. She could serve just shy of 10 years in the White House. My guess is that if they are going to do something like this, they'll do it that way and give themselves maximum opportunity for maximum power and control rather than put her in now and then she's only limited to 7 years X or 7 years plus.
How frustrating must it be?
Not what I would like, but if I were the Democratic advisor, that's what I would tell them to do.
And how frustrating must it be for one Hillary Clinton to hear somebody who couldn't even get 3% of her own party on her side, and she is a heartbeat away from the presidency and could be the first woman president?
I think Hillary Clinton grinds her molars every day. I mean, to the point where she's probably down just to the gums at this point.
Wow. Yeah, this is amazing. And going back to what, you know, we talked about last week in terms of the Trump derangement syndrome, it is alive and well, and it is occupying a primary residency in the minds of Democrats.
Oh, yeah. It's, they still hate Trump and haven't let go of the guy. We saw this terrible shooting in Boulder, Colorado the other day. And I'm not sure if they mentioned Trump's name, but the sense was, oh, it's another white supremacist, another Trump supporter. Well, guess what? It turned out to be not some, white Christian guy. It turns out to be a Syrian refugee with a Muslim name, I think Muslim background.
Right, exactly.
A pretty active anti-Trump social media presence.
Right, without a doubt. And, of course, the mainstream media had to backtrack their initial narrative about the shooting. But, like everything with the Democratic Party, we're not about to let a good crisis go to waste. And they continue to milk that, too, and they will fudge and rewrite history as it's convenient for them because there's no accountability. We've got more from DeRoy Murdoch on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Spring forward at Banana Republic Factory with 50 to 70% off everything. Shop season favorites from colorful dresses to easy tops from $19.99. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory. Shop 50 to 70% off almost everything at Gap Factory. Get 60% off select jeans and dresses. Shop the sale through March 28th at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com.
Okay. Indeed knows unexpected demand can stretch your business thin.
Leon speaking.
Like at Leon's Plumbing.
Sorry, quickest we can get there is next Friday.
To stay out of hot water, he needs to get started hiring right.
Clog the toilet?
Right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Deroy Murdoch continues with us, the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online, founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. As you were pointing out, DeRoy, earlier, I mean, this has just been an incredible week for this administration. Supposedly, we're going to have a press conference, State of the Union, I guess, on hold forever, which is kind of ironic because you had, remember, not that long ago, a little over a year ago, Nancy Pelosi refusing to give Donald Trump any time and space for a State of the Union presentation with both houses.
Yeah, exactly. So she was trying to keep him out of there, and now Biden, I'm sure if he said, hey, I want to come speak, she'd set it up and he could be there that evening if he wanted, but he's not there. And this is a basic tradition. In fact, I believe it's in the Constitution that every year
exactly.
There should be a statement of the State of the Union. It used to be written until, I believe it was Wilson, maybe Harding, Coolidge, somewhere in there. I think those were the first people actually to show up on Capitol Hill. But ever since, it's been a tradition. You come in usually somewhere in February or so, maybe early March, and either give your State of the Union, or I think the first year Trump was there, they just called it a national address or something. But you show up, you address both houses of Congress, you know, talk about what you want to do. The people in the same party cheer, the people on the other side sit on their hands, and you know it's a nice national ritual, but we haven't gotten that from Biden, and I guess he's incapable of standing up and giving a half hour speech before Congress, before a joint session of Congress. That's not very encouraging. I mean, he can read it off a teleprompter. He doesn't have to answer any questions, and this is something that's become sort of a basic tradition, expectation, American presidency, and at least so far he's not fulfilling that either.
Right. Well, and also interesting, I was watching a presentation the other day I thought was rather odd, maybe following suit, is kind of these manufactured, press meetings. And Biden is using a green screen, and they're kind of manufacturing these, these interactions with the press. And you go, wait a minute, this is all fake. What's up with this?
Yeah, actual fake news. Yeah. The behavior of Biden and his team towards the media are just extraordinary. requirement that people turn in questions ahead of time. This green screen situation you mentioned, complete shutdown at the border where people can't go down there and look at these detention facilities. I have seen some footage finally today. Maybe some people, somebody got in, but you know, this has been a five-alarm blaze down there for the last couple of weeks. There's actually a photojournalist with Getty Images, and he was complaining about the lack of access down there, and he said something like, you know, never have I I'm trying to say the exact comment. He said, never has he had to go down to Mexico to shoot pictures of what's happening in the United States. It was kind of a Twitter message. The photographs in this tweet string were taken with a telephoto lens from across the border in Mexico. Until now, U.S. photojournalists haven't needed to stand in another country to photograph what's happening in the United States. That's Getty Images photojournalist John Moore. So he had to leave the country to take pictures of what's happening in America. And this is, again, it'd be one thing if Biden came in and said, look, you know, I promised to keep the press in a box and let them know what I'm doing. He didn't say that. He said, we're going to have, a genuine transparency and most open White House in American history. And it's exactly the opposite. And, you know, under President Trump, he was available. You know, he'd give these press conferences, especially if you remember a year ago when the pandemic started. He would get up in front of the media and take hostile, nasty, abusive, disrespectful questions for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I think I saw him once go for like almost an hour. And he was doing that on a daily basis. Every time he got on the helicopter, he'd stop and talk for, you know, 10, 15 minutes with people. And then, of course, with Twitter and all, he almost had like probes on top of his skull, you know, giving us this constant every constant brainwave. So he was terribly transparent. I don't think we've ever had a president more transparent than Donald J. Trump, and now we have one who's the most opaque I can remember seeing in my life.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, supposedly, speaking of which, Donald Trump's going to have his own social media network. He's creating his own.
Yes, I've heard this. It certainly gives him an opportunity to get back into the debate. I mean, other than the CPAC speech, which I had the pleasure of seeing in person, and a couple of phone-ins to Fox News Channel, he's been pretty low-key. Of course, he's banned from Twitter for life, but if he starts his own social media platform, he'll be able to talk anytime he wants, and of course, other people can get on there. I think independent of President Trump, this is a very smart thing that the right needs to do. We need to develop our own institutions so that we don't have to worry about being canceled or deplatformed or demonetized. And that's not just the big platforms like Parler and things like that. But, you know, I think we need our own server farms. I think we probably need our own power supply. You know, these things should be in caves in Utah or Arkansas, which, you know, are pretty solid Republican states. So you don't have, let's say, a server farm in New York State and then Andrew Cuomo finds someone to shut it down. Exactly. And it's sad that we have to do that. But, you know, we're in a situation now where the left is, I call them the neo-totalitarian left. They don't believe in free speech, and if they disagree with you, they don't just debate you or dismiss you. They try to unplug you and make sure you don't make any money and that you go broke and I imagine starve to death is what the American left wants today. So the way to fight back against that is don't give them the opportunity to get their hands on the plug and unplug it. You know, we have the own plug, we own the wall, we own the power supply, and that's how we all can remain in the debate and open and visible and not canceled.
Could you imagine the impact that could have? I mean, in terms of, you know, controlling the media, in a sense of controlling it. Well, let's just bring the media back to its original intent from the founding fathers, that it was free, it was fair, it was unbiased, we had objective reporting. Boy, we've been so long removed from it, DeRoy, I dare say that people may have to go through some sort of psychological reconditioning to appreciate, you know, kind of what's going on. It's kind of like you and I, we were, you know, born and raised in Southern California, and McDonald's really altered the way people tasted French fries, if you recall, because they bleached their fries, right? And then you go to a facility like In-N-Out Burgers that actually, you know, they cook their French fries the way you and I originally cooked French fries. And I remember tasting them for the first time, and I go, these taste different. And my friend goes, that's because these are done the old-fashioned way. Totally different. And it was amazing to me to think how McDonald's had conditioned the palate of people to taste French fries in a certain way. It was very acceptable that when you tasted a real French fry, it tasted foreign to you.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, if we went back to the original, on the one hand, on the other hand, journalism, I think a lot of people would find it startling, because what we've gotten now is basically, you know, hardcore partisan propaganda. And, you know, that's true on the left. I think to some degree maybe it's true on the right, but it would be good to have actual reporting and journalism where we get, you know, both sides presented. And we have less and less of that. And again, the left is, they're really about censorship. And ironically, it's not the censorship of George Orwell, which is run by the government. It's censorship run by the private sector, Twitter and Facebook and Google and the others and Amazon. Basically banning people with whom they disagree. Of course, if it's done by the private sector, it's a lot harder to fight than it is if it were done by the government, where you could probably get tossed out in court. If it's done by the private sector, then, you know, they have kind of have a right to do it if it's private property. And so it's much more pernicious and much harder to root out.
Well, especially when you've got, these big tech oligarchs controlling these elected officials. I mean, their tentacles go into their back pocket for re-election. And so, you know, they first pop in circumstance. They talk about challenging 230, but nothing's happening. I mean, they are still allowed to control the narrative. We've got some midterms, you know, just around the corner. You know, they're coming soon and very soon. And before you know it, it'll be 2024. And what will have changed, from the 2020 election that left everybody in a quandary?
No, you're right about that. And unfortunately, there are some Republicans who believe that we should leave Section 230 in place for various reasons. For those unfamiliar with the term, this is the protection against litigation that these big tech companies get, Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. And the basic concept is if you're an open platform like AT&T, you know, you make a phone call on AT&T, nobody comes on and says, oh, there's a Democrat phone call, you know, shut up. Hang up the phone. If they want to operate that way, then great. Section 230 is terrific. But if they're going to sit there and say, New York Post, we don't like your Hunter Biden story, so we're going to unplug your Twitter page for, I think it was 14 or 15 days right before the election. If that's the way you're going to behave, if you're Twitter and you're a private company, I suppose you can do that. But you can't at the same time hide behind Uncle Sam and Section 230 and say, okay, New York Post, you can't sue me, which is basically what it is.
Right.
So I think they really need to pick. If they want to be open platforms and anybody can go on and say whatever he wants, short of, I guess, promoting pedophilia and homicide. Great. You get the Section 230 protections. And if you want to tell the New York Post and Fox News Channel or whatever to pound sand, magnificent, but don't expect Uncle Sam to protect you as you do so.
Yeah.
And we really need to make those companies make one choice or the other, model A or model B, rather than this, you know, hybrid we have now, which is the worst of all worlds.
Well, and all roads lead to the survival of our democratic republic, and you can't help but hear the echo of Benjamin Franklin's voice when asked, what kind of government do we have? And he said, a democratic republic, if we can keep it. And, of course, we're reminded even with Ronald Reagan in stating that, our form of government isn't something that passes in the bloodstream. It is something that we have to be vigilant about, that we're one generation away from losing it. And I'll tell you, we're knocking on that door right now, DeRoy, if we don't come back and, you know, bring people together with critical thinking and with reason and fairness and all predicated on our God-given rights as enumerated in our U.S. Constitution. If we don't reapprehend that document and the principles therein, we're done. He is DeRoy Murdoch, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online, founding member of Project 21 Black Leadership. DeRoy, as always, appreciate the time. Take care. Godspeed.
All right, you too, Bill. Thanks a lot.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck. Or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us.
That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Do you want to give